97.1 QMG, the best R&B in old school. And we keep you in the know. There's always some good things happening in our community. Just like today, as I officially welcome everyone to Saturday's edition of Community Focus, it is the 21st day of March 2009. Kind of hard to believe. Next week, this month is over. Why is this year flying by so quickly?
I know That's what I want to know.
What is going on?
I was thinking about that the other day.
I said, before we know it, we're going to be right back to the holidays pretty soon. But let's not rush that because we're finally just getting through the winter season and kicking off the first official weekend of March. Good Saturday morning. I'm Renee Vaughn. The gentleman that you probably just heard, his voice certainly very familiar to our Community Focus family. I want to say good morning to Algernon Cash.
Good morning, Renee.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
And we have another member of our QF family back with us as well. Fleming, good morning to you.
Good morning, Renee.
It's so good to have you back.
Pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Fleming El Amin, of course, a member of the Forsyth County Democratic Party. Gentlemen, we got a good topic of discussion. I mentioned this yesterday. We've got a full show. I told listeners yesterday, Algernon, I said, let's have you guys calling in real early at 336-680-9710 because you know how things kind of go by very fast.
They do.
Before we know it,
they
this hour will be here before we know it. So let's get right to it. Let's kick it in high gear and keep it there for the next several minutes. Wanted to start things off and talk a little bit about, number one, Algernon and Fleming, President Obama's housing plan. It kicked into action earlier this month, March the 4th of 2009, to be exact, and sharing some information, especially on how our listeners this morning can get 100% financing, Algernon, to buy homes.
Well, you know, first, and both of those are accurate, and what I'll do is separate the two because Obama's homeowner affordability and stability plan is a little different than the 100% program that's available. So I'll start off with the Obama plan that kicked into play on March 4th. But this is the opportunity for a lot of folks who may be underwater on their mortgage to actually get that mortgage modified and maybe get their rate adjusted to something that's a little more affordable and bring their payments down. Now the loan program that you sort of referenced, that's the USDA Rural Development Loan Program. Right. And that's actually a program that's been around for a very long time.
Yeah, but it seems like people are just now really hearing about it.
Well, when you start to have this kind of pain, people all of a sudden start reading a little more often. But that's a program that's been around for quite some time. It is, the USDA is the government agency that monitors the food stock here in the United States. Mm-hmm. But they do have a loan program that's available for certain rural communities that have populations of 25,000 or less.
Right.
And I think what's significant, and even it's significant because of today, right here in Kernersville, right next door to us, they're having a big home sweet home event this weekend on March 21st and 22nd. And they do, and Kernersville is one of those areas where they do have those homes that actually qualify for the USDA loan program. And I think they've got about 38 homes that's going to be in this big parade that they're doing Saturday and Sunday. So even in today's times when it's this bad, you can still go out and hopefully try to get you a home.
Help stimulate
the economy.
Exactly. Yeah. And isn't it amazing how sometimes during very difficult situations, how it is, if you will, a little bit easier to obtain certain things?
Yeah,
including a home, the situation. You know, as I like to say, there's always that silver lining at the end of those thunderstorms, those thunderclouds.
That's
I think if we just put ourselves into the mindset that, you know, everything pretty much in life is temporary.
That's right.
This may be around for a while, but this too will pass.
This too will pass. And it's actually a great opportunity for a lot of people.
Now, are there any type of pre-qualifications or are there certain guidelines under which a person has to meet in order to be qualified for this particular program?
No, for the USDA loan program, there are a couple of guidelines. I think your income cannot exceed 115% of the county median income, and there may be a couple other things, but more specifically, keep in mind that only certain areas, certain geographical areas qualify
for
the program. So typically areas like Kernersville and areas that have populations of 25,000 or less, those are going to be areas where you can find homes that qualify for the USDA program.
And let us add, Kernersville is one of those areas, at least since I've been living here in North Carolina, it's been a minute now, that Kernersville was kind of one of those little kind of towns where if you blink, you miss it. because it was so small so long ago.
A couple exits
there, exactly. Yeah. And I officially moved here in North Carolina, and I consider this home, even though I was born someplace else. I've been here longer than where my naturalized place of birth is. Yeah. And it's the fact that, you know, when I first moved here in the early 80s, I mean, obviously, I'd never knew anything about Kernersville, but again, it was just one of those small towns. And to see it in the last 25 plus years grow to what it has become, that's kind of the hot spot. Yeah, I was going to say that's the hot spot where a lot of people really enjoy living in the area.
And my colleague over here, he teaches over in that area
wow,
as well.
Wow, okay. So. I didn't know that, Fleming.
I started teaching in 83 in Kernersville.
Okay. So well, you've been here about as long as I have. Small world, isn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely. So it's great. Now, will people who attend today's festivities, will they have a chance to actually walk through and look at some of these houses?
There's going to be some homes that I do believe are going to be open.
Okay.
They're going to have all types of vendors that are going to be on site.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a ton of free prizes as well. So, I mean, it's going to be a very festive event.
Wonderful.
And I think the idea or the target was to actually help trying to stimulate the economy.
Exactly.
And get people back out looking at homes because, you know, I think right now a lot of people are being misled and thinking that there are no loan programs available.
Right.
For housing, but once again, you know, you have the USDA program, the Obama administration. They're doing a number of things. They've got the $8,000 first-time home buyer
the
credit that they're
incentive.
Offering that they did through the stimulus plan.
Right.
There's a lot of things going
Absolutely.
On. I mean, you know, I spoke on a panel about a week or so ago, and they said that there's been $10 trillion worth of programs and guarantees and all this kind of stuff that's been done here over the short period of time.
Wow. 336-680-9710. Let's go to the phone lines, gentlemen. It's Saturday morning. Welcome to Community Focus. How are you?
Yes, good morning. I was calling in to speak with Algernon.
He's right here. I'm Renee. Hey. How are you?
Hey there, Ron. I think this is Ron Guerrero.
Hi, Ron.
Who is the president of the Triad Real Estate and Building Industry Coalition. And Ron is one of the gentlemen that's been instrumental in helping to organize this event for the weekend.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Ron, thank you for the good things that you're doing in our community. We appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for speaking about this great program that we've got going on. Today, it's the first one ever in Kernersville, and like you say, Kernersville is a small town, but it's growing. It is the heart of the Triad.
It really is.
Location.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to have to take that back now and referencing it to a small town. It's grown so much.
Yeah, it has.
It is. And the location, I mean, it's just perfect, especially today when you've got folks that are working in different parts of the Triad.
Absolutely.
Living there, it's easy to get to Greensboro, High Point, etc. But you know, the event today is the first one of its kind, and there will be 123 homes that will be open throughout the Kernersville area.
Wow!
And all price ranges. The chamber has done a great job. The Kernersville Chamber. In setting this up, and if folks go to the chamber website, they can actually find maps there with the different price ranges of the homes. And if I may give that website out,
I was going to remind you, or at least ask you to share that information this morning.
Sure. We set up a special page just for this. It's the www.KernerssvilleHomeSweetHome.com. And again, that's www.KernerssvilleHomeSweetHome.com. And it'll take you right to the page where the events information, and as I say, there's maps there. There's actually three maps that the city has prepared for those homes north of 40, south of 40, and then all of the homes. And then it lists vendors, because there's not only homes that are open, but also folks that deal with flooring, if you need new flooring, if you need storage, anything with the real estate and building industry.
Well, that's great, Ron.
It is.
And, you know, we definitely hope you guys get a good turnout out there today and again tomorrow. And once again, you know, we really appreciate, I think, that what you guys are doing for the community as far as helping to get the economy stimulated.
Absolutely. I think it's already off to a good start, Ron, because you've got the first official weekend of spring. The weather's going to be nice today and tomorrow.
Yes.
You really should have a good crowd of people. Let me ask you this. Does anyone need to bring anything beforehand before they come, other than their questions, and obviously bring themselves? And we want to encourage those not to come by themselves, to bring somebody with them if possible.
Definitely to bring themselves and to realize that there are programs out there, because so many people have taken themselves out of the market,
right,
thinking that they just can't afford a home, or there's just so much misinformation that they need so much down, that
right,
they need to have perfect credit. That's not true. We've got a battle list that's going on in the media right now that is giving folks wrong information. And to tell the truth, right now is a great time to buy a home or some of these services because of the low interest rates.
Absolutely.
The SBA program that Al and I was talking about. So, no, they don't need to bring anything to
come
out. There'll be folks giving information, which
great
is what we really need.
Wonderful.
Well, Ron, once again, we appreciate the phone call, and we appreciate you letting the triad know sort of what's going on.
And we appreciate you folks letting people know and taking my call. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Right. And, Ron, I would love to get you in here on the studio, so I will be communicating between myself and Algernon, and maybe we can make that happen.
Okay. Well, thank you very
You're
much.
You're welcome.
Have a blessed day.
You do
All
the
right.
same,
Take
Ron.
Take care now.
Thank you.
All
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
Well, I tell you, you just got friends in high places.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
His name is Cash.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Well, absolutely some great information.
It is.
And I like the fact that all you have to do basically is just show up.
That's right. But, you know, now that's for the people that are out buying homes.
Right.
Now, right now, you know, one of the things that I think is really hurting a lot of people are the people that
already
in homes.
Right.
And unfortunately, they can't pay their mortgage. And I think that's really where the Obama plan comes into play, as far as helping people to get some reduction in their interest rate on their mortgages. Now, you know, I think and I would agree there is a certain amount of controversy that's surrounding this plan, simply because, you know, as a part of the plan, President Obama has opposed that even bankruptcy judges can start to modify loan agreements,
right,
and sort of adjust the principal that you owe in your mortgage. And I think there's a little controversy there simply because, you know, how far does this go when we start to say we can alter contracts, actual contracts that's
exactly
been written,
yeah,
to be able to modify mortgages?
I think Ron said it best, Fleming and Algernon, is the fact that there is a battle, if you will, in trying to get the right information, especially out to us, the masses, as the general public. We just don't have an opportunity to really hear the good news that's actually out
this.
There. Absolutely.
That's why we're doing this every
Saturday
morning.
I could have said it
morning.
Better myself. Yep. Absolutely. 336-680-9710. Okay, I think we lost that caller. Caller gave us a call back. We're going to be here for the next few minutes. And just, again, some great information. Now, it starts again at what time today?
I think they're getting started here this morning. Okay. So I think if you go to KernisvilleHomeSweetHome.com, you can
they'll
probably
get all
the details. Yep.
Absolutely. Fantastic. So the 100% financing available to buy homes. Let me get your intake on this. Oh, I tell you what, let's take our first break. We're already at that point. I told you this hour's going to try to sneak by us. So let's get these bills paid. And here's what I want to do. I want to address this particular question of Fleming and Algernon, get you guys kind of thinking about this. So much taking place right now, not only the economy, we're dealing with this whole situation with AIG and these executive bonuses. So we're going to be talking about that as well. My question is, or my thoughts, given the new administration, we're over 100 days in for President Obama.
Yeah.
It seems like he's juggling so much, or so much is going on right now. Do you think it's a point where maybe, and I put emphasis on that word, that perhaps he might be trying to do too much at one time? Taking on so much at one time. Don't answer
just
yet.
I love to tackle the question after the break.
I'm going to give Fleming the opportunity to address
Please.
That first. But, and then, of course, take some callers at 680-9710. And for those of you, of course, listening, we would love to get your input as well. But we got to take a break so we can keep these lights on in this studio. It's what keeps us going around here is that advertising. So much more of Saturday's edition of Community Focus. Certainly do appreciate those of you who have tuned in so far. Here on the best R&B and old school, we are 97.1 QMG.
All right. You want to tell that caller to hold on?
Hey, caller. And you got the good folks right here, 97.1 QMG, the best R&B in old school, and back with Saturday's edition of Community Focus, Algernon Cash and Fleming El Amin joining me on the show. Gentlemen, can we go to the phone lines?
Please.
Okay,
please.
Let's do this. and say good morning to this patient caller who waited on us during the break. We're officially back. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for your call.
Okay. I had a question. I heard you talk about people that were in their homes were needing help, too. Do y'all have information on any kind of things, like getting a lower interest rate?
Yeah.
Or even home repairs?
Yeah, definitely. You know, right, like as I was saying earlier, President Obama's Homeowner Affordability and Stability Plan did kick in action on March 4th. And really, right now, what's going on is any of the lenders that participated in the TARP program, meaning if they've got some of the federal bailout money, they do have to participate in this plan. So if your lender that currently has your mortgage, if they are in this plan, what you can do is you can contact them, and you can definitely request to get a loan modification that would, in a sense, lower your interest rate and try to bring your payments down to make them a little bit more affordable. In certain cases, if you've got a mortgage that's been secured or guaranteed by Fannie Mae, you may even be able to refinance your mortgage into a long-term fixed-rate mortgage if you're currently on something that's adjustable or something like that. So,
and it's called TARP?
No, not TARP. TARP is the plan that's for the banks. That unfortunately, I think a lot of Americans wish the TARP plan
exactly,
was for them.
Yeah.
But no, this is the Obama Homeowner Affordability and Stability Plan. And probably the best way to do this, so I don't send you on a wild goose chase, send me an email at cashmoney97@bellsouth.net. And I'll send you some information on the plan, and you can check it out. And then also, this would be a good time for me to mention, if you are in Greensboro on March 31st, I'm doing a free session called Keys to Money Mastery at the Nussbaum Center, and we'll be talking about this and a whole lot more. We'll be teaching you how to manage your money and these kind of things. So send me an email at cashmoney97@bellsouth.net, and I'll get you all the information.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate
Thank
your
you
call.
For the call. Thank
and
you for
And your
listening.
Patience. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you, my dear. Bye-bye. 336-680-9710. Let's get as many calls in as we can. Good morning, and welcome to Community Focus. Thanks for your call. How are you?
Fine. How you doing?
Doing good. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
And is this, my wife and I have bought a house in Storrington, and we have this homeowners association. We've been paying dues, and for some time now, they haven't been doing anything. I mean, we haven't seen anything being done. I mean, we don't know what our monies are being used for.
Yeah, that's pretty common with these homeowners associations.
Yeah.
So it's like I, for one, stopped paying a little bit. And recently I wanted to refinance my house. They have put in a lien on my house, and I want to know if that is right.
Yeah, unfortunately that is. What ends up happening is with these developers, they develop the subdivisions, and they have to turn over the control of the actual subdivision and its common area maintenance and those kind of things. They turn it over to the homeowners association. And you do have to pay those dues. And if you don't pay those dues, they can file a lien against your home. And in certain cases, they can even foreclose on their lien that they file on your home, and they can kick you out of your house. And you would still have to keep paying your mortgage, but
yeah.
they can foreclose on your house, and I mean foreclose on their lien, and actually cause you to vacate the premises. So, yeah, you want to get that taken care of.
But, I mean, we're paying those dues, and we don't see any use of it. They don't do anything in the community. We cut our own grass. We do everything. So we wanted to know what they're using our monies for.
Well, you know, what I would tell you to do, the best way to handle that is you got to get more active in your homeowners association. You've got to go to the meetings. You've got to let your voice be heard. But you've got to get more active and make sure you let them know about your disappointments and your frustrations. But please go ahead and take care of that outstanding liability that you have, because I don't want you to get in any kind of a situation. But definitely just get more active with your homeowners association. Maybe try to get a leadership position with your homeowners association, because they do elect officers to the association as well.
And definitely keep listening to the station, sir, because outside of this information that Algernon is sharing with you this morning, you definitely can hear him during the weekday, Tuesdays.
Yeah, we do Cash Money Tuesday with Buster Brown on the
okay.
afternoon thing. Mm-hmm. You can always go to my website, algernoncash.com. We got a lot of information out there, free information, and
that's
I think
right.
that's what the big thing is. the session I'm doing at the end of the month is free.
Right.
And you can always email me, and I'll give you free advice.
So, there you go.
So the big word through all that is free.
Okay.
And we're going to try to help you out as best as we can. And if you have any more questions, don't hesitate to give us a call.
All right, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's a whole nother show topic.
Absolutely.
Right there.
And it might be something we can work on for next week.
Talk about that one.
That's a whole nother show topic. Absolutely. Let's take one more call. 336-680-9710. Let's keep them coming. Thank you, folks. Good morning. How are you on this Saturday?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thank you for your call. Go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. The question I have is that we got into a deal with a lawyer firm, and we paid them like $2,300 to reduce our mortgage for us. And they pretty much told me, you know, that my mortgage is like 12%, and they reduced it to 7, I think 7, 8 or something like that. But I'm still having problems paying it. And I was wanting to know if, I just heard you say something about the Obama plan, and that do we still qualify to do that, even though I went to this lawyer firm and just had it done like a month ago?
That's a good question. There's some agencies out there, and I'll tell the listeners to be careful. There are some folks out there that say they do these loan modifications. There are some attorney firms that are doing it. A lot of the mortgage brokers that ended up shutting down their companies because they can't do mortgages anymore, now they reopen as loan modification companies, and they're out doing loan modifications. So, first of all, be very careful about who you use and who you work with. What I would tell you the best thing to do is actually get back in touch with your lender, and you want to talk with somebody that's in risk management with your lender. And you'd want to ask them that question of whether or not you could still do that again, you know, even though you've had it modified here in the last 30 or 45 days.
Okay.
Call your lender. And it's not to say that you wouldn't be able to do it, because the Obama housing plan didn't start. It didn't kick in effect until March 4th.
Right. Okay.
Well, sir, we wish you well. Keep us posted on this situation, too, by the way, if you can, or if you don't mind.
I will.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
You do the same. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Now, I know Fleming's burning to answer that question over there.
Yes. Yeah, so go right. You know, so you
we
can step in.
Make sure. Yeah, we're going to make sure we get it. Let him answer that question. Because
We have 2 ears and one mouth for a reason. We should listen twice as much as we talk.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot.
You and me both.
But listen, in terms of the question asked before we went on break and before we entertained the
callers,
they were all very good questions.
Yeah.
I do want to make one comment about the homeowner situation.
Yeah.
I would strongly encourage the callers to really consider running for a leadership position, as I've encountered a very similar situation.
Okay.
And if you get into the leadership position, you can change those elements that he's concerned about and make the organization more transparent.
Right.
And that's what's key about most of those organizations. They're not very transparent.
Yeah.
And we also need to know where our money's going and how
that's
it's been
right.
spent. It's that time of season.
Well, I like the fact that people are calling in and asking these questions, because I think, if anything, there's really, at least that's what my grandmother used to tell me, there's no wrong answer and there's no dumb answer. It's the fact that when you don't ask, that's where the problems lie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
Now, let's focus in on Obama if we could for a moment.
Absolutely, because I did. And I wanted to get a couple of questions in, but I did. I posed that before our first break of the morning, was so much taking place, you know. Juggling the mortgage foreclosures, the housing market in general, definitely the economy, given the recession that we're in. Now we've got the situation with executives getting these big bonuses and payouts, AIG and goodness knows what other financial institutions are out there. So it you know, when you watch all of this and you kind of take it all in, Fleming, mm-hmm. as to this has really become sort of a juggling act for the Obama administration. And then you on the side, if you will, is the fact that you're still looking for key people to fit key administration positions mm-hmm. within your administration, so to speak. So do you think that maybe our president is taking on too much, perhaps, at one time? What are your feelings about that?
I'll start with the filling question.
Okay.
Component of the question.
Yeah.
I think if you were there to see those 3 million people applaud him,
yeah.
you would even give it an entertaining, you would say, no, he's doing exactly what he should be doing.
We're doing right.
Because there's such a great demand for change. And I don't mean that.
This is true.
I mean that specifically. He inherited almost a firestorm Now, some would like them to be a water hose farm and just put one thing out at a time.
Right.
But we're in a very serious situation, mm-hmm. and it requires a multiple approach to this problem.
Yeah.
I think in our last conversation, we talked about the four components of the GDP, and all of them have to be addressed. You got to massage all of them to get us out of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you notice Obama the other night on the Jay Leno show, I think it was Jay Leno.
Yes, yeah, it's a nice show. You're
definitely
right.
Jay Leno.
You're right.
I saw that several times.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you see the look Jay had on when the president said, yeah, I bowl a 129? He's like, okay.
That's one he wants back, I promise.
I think so, too.
He wants that one back.
And it's just been, it's the human element there. But I think Obama has this real gift of connecting with people.
Yeah.
And so I think he's just responding to the demands people put on him. Mm-hmm. We want to see improvement in education and health issues. The economy's got to be adjusted because we're in a serious situation. You can't forget foreign affairs as well. So a president has six purposes he has to be conscious of at all times. Mm-hmm. It's very clearly stated in our Constitution. And I would advise our listening audience sometime just to read your preamble. The president is doing exactly what we sent him to office to do.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line, unfortunately. Now, those that are critiquing him, mm-hmm. they're the ones who'd like to just pinpoint him into one category.
Right, right.
And they have their chance.
And that's a very good point. And maybe that's what's prompted me to ask that question, because this really is a change in the administration from the last 8 years that we had from the previous administration with President Bush. But one interesting thing, and let's get back to the Tonight Show, if I'm not mistaken, and you gentlemen can correct me or help me out on this, he's the actual first sitting president to appear on a major late-night talk show.
He is.
And that's got a lot to do with the fact that the media and television is extremely liberal.
Right.
And they wanted him to be on the Tonight Show and wanted him to be in that position. And they were not as open to a conservative like George Bush. But, you know, I disagree with my colleague Fleming there. I mean, I think that President Obama is trying to take on a lot. And I don't think that this is about trying to take on a full plate. Mm-hmm. This is a siege. This country is under siege. Capitalism is under siege right now. You know, you constantly hear the president say that he's inherited these problems. He did not inherit these problems. He knew about these problems. He applied for the job, and we gave him the job. So he didn't inherit the problems. He asked for the problems. He wanted to be in this position, and he got what he asked for. And I disagree with the people that say that he's trying to bring change to this whole program and to this or to Washington. Because you look at this budget that he just passed. This is a budget that was left over from the Bush administration. President Obama said that he wanted change. He had the opportunity to create change. He could have vetoed the budget. He didn't veto the budget. He said he was going to take a scalpel to the budget. I don't know what scalpel he's working with, but it isn't precision enough for what I can tell. And then even this last week, the congressional Democrats in the House passing legislation that's going to tax executive bonuses 90%. Now, some people listen to that and they say, well, hey, you ought to take all of it. They don't deserve any of the money. Now, that's one way of thinking about it. But my question is, how far does this go? How far does this go?
Right.
We broke away from England because of this kind of oppressive taxes. How far does this go when they can come in here and say, hey, Renee, you can't be making what you're making, so we're going to take 75% from you. Fleming, you can't make what you're going to make, so we're going to take 50% from you. How far does it go before we wake up and stop this from happening?
Well, I think we have to put it in context here. We're talking specifically about AIG.
Right.
And AIG is leaning on almost $70 billion of our money, taxpayers' money.
Exactly.
That's a whole different ball game for them, because I think it's almost an insult to all of us for those guys to be paid $146 million in bonuses, and they have run a company in the ground. That's the issue, I think, with AIG.
Right.
But it wasn't them guys. Those weren't the guys that were paid the bonuses. These weren't top executives that were responsible for running the company. These were executives within the company, and these were previously agreed upon contracts. Fleming, you know, we can't go against our contracts. That's what makes up the American system. That's the reason why foreign investors love investing in America, because we honor our contracts.
And that sounds like the stand. Let me interject here. That sounds like the stand that the current CEO, Edward Libby, took this week when he was approached by the House Senate Committee. But you've got Hank Greenberg, on the other hand, who just recently told CBS's The Early Show that under his leadership, and I'm quoting here, nobody had a contract, including me. If you didn't do the job, you didn't deserve to be there, end quote. But the CEO is saying something totally different. Well, that's not what I heard. Sure. So yeah. what's the deal with that?
And it's a bigger picture, too. I was in Detroit the weekend of February 23rd, and I was reading in the newspaper there that the money they sent aside to take care of these people in their retirement has been raided by the company. In fact, they to me, it was almost a criminal act for the management of GM to go in and take the money out of these really funds set aside for retirement, and they use those funds to try to make improvements in the company. Now, that to me just speaks volumes about this whole element of trust or lack of trust that we now have in corporate America. AIG is one indicator of that. Unfortunately, Merrill Lynch is another indicator of that. We have some hometown banks in North Carolina that unfortunately, including Wachovia, it was purchased by Wells Fargo.
Right.
They went into a huge mortgage, you know, agreement to buy a mortgage-based company and caused that company to just fold under, basically. Fortunately, Wells Fargo came in and sort of rescued them. But we have so many examples of corporate entities who have violated, I think, a basic trust. Now, the contract is just an extension of trust. If you don't fulfill the tenets of a contract, then basically you invalidate the contract yourselves. And we can talk about philosophically what that means. The contract by itself has a certain objective. It's more than just the words on the paper. It's also an element of trust. And if I sign a contract with you and I don't fulfill my obligation, you have the right to, say, dishonor that contract. And we can talk about that more if we need to.
But it's not just corporations that are violating trust. The federal government does it all the time. They've been robbing Social Security for decades. And Social Security was something that was created as a pension system and a system retirement for taxpayers. And the federal government has been robbing the Social Security system for decades. The Social Security system is broken. So it's not just corporate America that's violating this trust. It's our very own government that does it on a daily basis.
I'm glad you brought that up, because my question will be this. Will we have a Social Security program?
There is no Social Security system.
By the time
Social Security
retire.
Is a box full of IOUs. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It was a flawed system. Shouldn't have never been created. They should have known it was a flawed system the first day that the first person got a Social Security check. And they never put anything in the system. Someone should have stood up and said, hey, this isn't designed the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they designed it back in the 30s under the Roosevelt administration, Social Security was flawed from the day it was ever created. Mm-hmm. And it's a broken system. And,
well, is it too late to revamp it or start over from scratch?
Well, we've got about $5 trillion that the federal government owes to the Social Security Trust Fund.
Yeah.
So it's being robbed every day. So, I mean, you can't point fingers at GM and AIG and everybody and Citigroup and Bank of America when you're doing some of the same things that they were doing. And this is the other issue. I don't really think that this is about AIG, and I don't think that this is so much about trust and all that. This is a political witch hunt. Congress is using these issues to stir up political firestorms, to get the American taxpayers upset and riled up. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And the other thing that I ask is, why shouldn't these companies be eligible to get this bailout money? They pay corporate taxes. They're taxpayers just like average citizens are. They're corporate citizens. So if they're paying taxes in great times, why in a time of need should they not be able to access the federal government?
I think we should check the facts very carefully. Most tax funds come from middle-income America, not from corporations.
But they do pay taxes, though.
Well, we can talk about that. Most taxes in this country come from middle Americans who work every day, not from corporate America. Now, I have a little bit of experience dealing with corporate America, even on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
The entity that I work for didn't pay a dime of taxes, and they were a $15 billion company and a national bank.
Yeah.
So the tax law is written for the benefit of business.
We have a 35% corporate tax rate in America. That's the highest corporate tax rate in the world.
The corporate tax law. It's written for the benefit of business. If you don't have a business in your household, if you don't have a business that you're engaged in, you don't get the full benefit of the tax structure. And we can talk about the tax law specifically, but I want to challenge my friend again about this whole concept of Social Security. Mm-hmm. You ask an 80-year-old person today who's receiving a Social Security check if it works or not.
I'm not, you know, Fleming, I'm not questioning whether or not we should take care of those in our community that are elderly, or should we provide a system of support or a network of support or resources to help them? I'm questioning the method by which we're doing it right now, the method by which we're delivering the service. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a more efficient way than the current way that we're trying to do it. I mean, I'm not questioning the need or the goal or what we're achieving with it, but the method by which we're delivering it is broken.
We'll talk about methodology on another program.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Okay. Got to go back to FDR. I
was going to say, and we won't get that within the last 15 minutes or so of the program, unfortunately. So this sounds like this is definitely going to have to be a carryover.
Well, I tell the Triad listeners, the folks mm-hmm. that are out there listening to this right now, the thing that you need to consider, and I know it's easy to get excited about when you say, okay, hey, those greedy bankers and those greedy insurance guys, take all their money, take 100% of their money. I know it's easy to say that, but you need to stop and start to ask yourself the question, mm-hmm. where does this stop? Yeah. Where does it stop when congressional leaders can use the tax code to abuse power and exercise power of the American people? This is the reason why we became the republic that we are.
I think the question also is, this has been going on for quite some time. Why are we just now addressing this?
I think exactly, that's... and that goes back to Tim Geithner, and when he basically structured this agreement originally, they had the ability to structure the agreement so that this wouldn't have happened, and they didn't do it.
Yeah.
So you know, hey, I mean, I think
it's easy to do the finger pointing. It becomes difficult as to who initially is going to shoulder the blame, who's going to come forward and say, well, you know what, I goofed. I messed up. I did it.
I think we shouldn't wage a war on capitalism. That's all.
We got a good debate here.
Yes, we do.
We really do. Let's take another quick break. These phone lines are just blowing up.
we got to take some calls.
We got to take some calls. So let's do that right quick. Folks, hang tight. I promise you we're coming back in just minutes, and we're going to give you an opportunity to ask questions or just to voice your opinion. That's what we're here for. I've got Algernon Fleming, yours truly, Renee Vaughn. This is Saturday's edition of Community Focus. And we're coming back in just minutes. 97.1 QMG. 97.1 QMG. Now hear this. We are back with Saturday's edition of Community Focus. The last remaining minutes. 336-680-9710. Renee Vaughn along with Algernon Cash and Fleming El Amin joining me on the program. Fleming, I promised you I was going to get this in because I want to take the last remaining minutes and just go straight to our callers.
Okay.
Gentlemen. For those who are listening this Saturday morning, Fleming, they have an invitation to the Forsyth County Democratic Party. There's going to be a reception and gala celebrating a blue victory on March the 28th. What time is the reception?
The reception starts at 5.
Okay, and it's going to be at the White Space Gallery. This is Suite 202 of Piedmont Leaf Lofts, and this is at 401 East 4th Street in downtown Winston-Salem. And the gala will start about 7?
Yes. And
okay.
The keynote speaker is our new Senator Kay Hagan.
All right. So dinner, a keynote speaker, music, and a whole lot more. Now, the gala, by the way, will be at the Grand Pavilion Ballroom, Embassy Suites. That's at 460 North Cherry Street in Winston. Is there a phone number that anyone can call or maybe an email address, even better, that they can visit?
Let me give you the email address.
Sure.
ntv754@yahoo.com.
Wonderful. And we want folk who are listening to know that they can come and have some questions and just have a good time at the same time.
Thank you very much.
Exactly. You're welcome.
And good music as well.
That's right. That's right. So
even
it's going to be
friends like my friend Algernon.
That's right.
For the folks that are listening that are on the conservative right side, on the same Saturday,
yeah,
we'll be having the Forsyth County GOP convention.
Okay.
That morning, so you can head up to Bolton Street, come over to Forsyth Tech, and
right.
We're going to be having the convention
okay.
that morning. So.
Well, I think this is great because this really will allow us as members of our communities to continue to stay involved, especially within our political system
sure.
as well. Wonderful opportunity. Gentlemen, you ready to go back to these phone lines?
Yes.
Air
blowing up. I have one person who's patiently waiting. She's going to get first dibs. Good morning, and thank you for holding on to Community Focus. You go right ahead.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I apologize, sir. I called you madam. My apologies.
That's okay. Yes, I called the last time that Adonai and Fleming were all
mm-hmm.
with that formula about giving the people the money. I just called.
Yeah,
great
idea.
I just called to correct it because I said it was based off of the stimulus package.
Yes,
mm-hmm. But it was just based off of the that first money that AIG got, the $85 billion.
Yes,
where it said if you know, just assuming that you had 200 million people, 18 and over,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
and gave them $425,000, then assuming you had a 30% tax break, the government's going to get $25 billion back right off the bat.
Yeah.
And that's going to leave, let's say, a household, a couple, with $595,000 left to pay the bills and everything. And I said that makes more sense than giving 200 million people the money instead of a handful of people at AIG getting bonuses.
Well, you've thought your pro, or sounds like you've tried to think your program through pretty well. You may want to send it in to Secretary Geithner, see if he wants to take you up on it. But I tell you, this is the problem with your formula, okay? And this is also the problem with the media. The media is not helping people to understand that AIG, Citi, Bank of America, any other company that you're hearing about that's getting this bailout money, this is not grant money, okay? They're not giving this money away. This money has to be repaid with interest, and most of these companies have already started making dividend payments back to the government. So the government, all this money that you hear that's going out to these companies, the government will get all this money back with interest. Now, the problem with your plan and giving it to the people, you're just saying, hey, let's just give grants to people, but there's really no mechanism to make sure that the Treasury gets repaid the money that they've given out. Plus, they would need to get some kind of return on top of that money. So that's the one thing I want all the listeners to understand. The money that's going to AIG, the money that's going to all these companies, it is going to come back into the Treasury, and it will come back with a return.
Okay.
All right, Paula, we appreciate you. But listen.
Keep thinking, though.
I was going to say, don't let that dash your hopes. You keep thinking your thoughts, because one of these days you're going to hit the nail right on the head on something, and we're going to be like, I remember, and that man was so right.
Absolutely. The people deserve it.
That's right, and I appreciate the fact you were able to get through a second time, too. So, see, that's a good sign right there.
And he's listening.
That's right, absolutely. We appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much. You're welcome. Bye-bye. That was good.
Yeah.
That was very good. Let's take one more call while we still have some time. Good Saturday morning. Thank you for calling into Community Focus. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing well. Appreciate your call. You go right ahead.
I have a question, a real estate question. You still accept a real estate question?
Absolutely.
Sure. We'll take any questions.
Okay. My wife and I was out looking at a house this past weekend, and we fell in love with it, was ready to buy it. We are financially able to buy, and it was a house that we wanted. But then we discovered that there was another person that was looking at it. And my question is this. If this person has looked at it, made a bid on the house in the past, and then they went house shopping, and then their real estate agent called them and let them know that they had some serious buyers on the house.
Are you asking, is that okay?
No, what I'm asking is there maybe a law or a statute to let us know if they have put in a bid, if that bid was turned down?
Yeah, well, it really depends on, a lot of this sort of depends on if the real estate agent had an agreement with you or with some other party. And you know, clearly if they're representing multiple parties, they would have to, you know, inform people of everything that's going on. They'd have to be transparent. There are certain similar real estate, certain real estate deals where you have a closed bid offering where, you know, you make a bid and it's closed and sealed and you're not supposed to share with other parties. But I'm not sure of the details of your transaction to know.
But my question is this. If there was a bid and their bid was turned down.
Yeah.
We were at a disadvantage because they knew what the seller would turn down, so they knew what to bid next when they came the second time. And we being the second party, we didn't know that.
Yeah. I tell you, you know, probably the best way to handle it, you know, whatever realtor you're working with, they should have a broker in charge that works at the real estate company. And I would maybe have a conversation with them to sort of express your frustrations. And if it just so happens that this is one of those one- or two-man shop companies where they may be the broker in charge,
right,
you can always go to the Real Estate Commission. You can go on Google and type in North Carolina Real Estate Commission, and you may want to just contact them and tell them what your complaint is.
Okay.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, we had some good questions. Yes, we did, absolutely. Like I said, the minute we started, I had a feeling that hour was going to slip by, and unfortunately that's been the case. But, gentlemen, as always, you just make it fun to get up and do this show on Saturday. But you also make it very informative, and you empower and you enlighten a lot of people. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Renee, for the opportunity. One final time, I do want to let everybody know, on March 31st, if you want to come out, learn about managing money, learn about creating wealth for yourself, you want to learn about what's going on in the economy, come here, Keys to Money Mastery. We'll be at the Nussbaum Center here in Greensboro.
Okay.
Mary Gutierrez from the Mortgage Hotline.
They're one of the sponsors. Okay.
So they're going to be there to help us out, as well as Sherry Brown, who was here with us last year.
Right.
She's going to be there. So we've got a great panel of facilitators.
Wonderful.
And it's free. And there's only a limited number of seats. So make sure you email me at cashmoney97@bellsouth.net. I'll get you signed up.
Great.
And always, you can check me out every Tuesday Buster Brown, Money Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go to algernoncash.com. So it's the recession, and we're putting out plenty of free information.
Absolutely. And Fleming, we're going to get you back here on Saturdays. And I'm going to work on trying to incorporate you in other aspects of Community Focus, especially during the weekdays.
You got a job.
On the time during the morning.
You got a job.
We're going to put you on the payroll unofficially.
You got a job.
Absolutely.
There you go.
So listen now for me to be giving you a call on some things. But, gentlemen.
And then also, Renee, let me make sure I tell the listeners as well. The Community Focus episodes, we always put them on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah.
If you didn't get to hear the whole episode, or you want to hear some of the other episodes, previous episodes, go to algernoncash.com.
That's right. So. Thank you for that. And this one was definitely going to make it, and it was a good one.
It was.
It is a good one. And we're going to have more good ones down the road as well. So, gentlemen, you know you're welcome back anytime. Thank you again, as always.
Thank you, Renee.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
And thanks to each and every one of you. You had some excellent questions. Even if you didn't get a chance to call in, I'm hoping you'll get that opportunity next time. But nonetheless, you tuned in. You got some great information that I hope is certainly going to help you out. Coming up next, it is the remix of entertainment, news, old school, as well as new school. It is the Tom Joyner Morning Show at its best, a.k.a. right back at you. Speaking of Tom, Sybil, and Jay, their spring break vacation is about to officially come to an end, so they're going to rejoin me, Renee Vaughn, live in the studio first thing on Monday when the Tom Joyner Morning Show officially returns at 6 a.m. Have a great first weekend of spring. Enjoy yourselves, and definitely keep it here to the best R&B and old school. We're 97.1 QMG.